Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. We're continuing with our chakra series, so we made it to the third chakra today. If you haven't seen our latest two episodes, go check those out, where we talk about the root chakra and the sacral one. And in this episode, we're gonna talk about the third chakra, which is Manipura, or the solar plexus. So we're gonna have a similar approach, talking about what it is, where you can find it, what it's represented by, what does it mean when it's unbalanced, how you can balance it, what does the solar plexus mean in general, for energy, and maybe also how many people are maybe at this level, or what what a person that is at the solar plexus level would look like, I guess. We might go into that as well. So that's kind of our plan for today for the solar plexus.
Yeah, we made it up to the third chakra. We leveled up. Yeah, so this is Manipura. Manipura translates from Sanskrit as city of jewels, or resplendent, luscious gem. So it's represented as having 10 petals, and it's said to this energy center is located in front of the area that's a little bit above the navel. So what we use to refer as the what we refer to as the digestive fire, right? So in terms of imagery, it's represented by this lotus flower with 10 petals, that's whose color is very bright yellow, and its seed mantra or bija mantra is Ram, RAM. So they say that the persons whose energy level is has its peak at Manipura chakra, they are said to be all about sun and fire and electrical discharges, electricity, high energy intensity. You get the point. So most times they shine bright. They are extremely charismatic. They are born to be leaders, leaders of entire civilizations, such as Napoleon, for instance, right? Because he's said to be one of the perfect representatives of people who are at Manipura level. And the equivalent in today's world would probably be, I don't know, like the middle manager in a corporation, in a multinational corporation. They have a small Manipura, let's put it that way. But yeah, that's what they look like, and that's how they behave so what we should know about this chakra is that it coordinates our ego. No, so our ambition, our will, how vital we are, or maybe we're not that vital, which means a slight imbalance in Manipura chakra. It also controls our growth and expansion, our desire for self-growth, for self-actualization, our desire for how to put it, not desire, but rather how much self-control we have, how spontaneous, how powerful we are, and of course, physical force included, by the way. Manipura people are said to have to be very honorable individuals, and they have also a lot of courage, and they have very intense, very strong personalities. So they're strong individuals. Luckily, Manipura is giving us good power to regenerate after an illness or wounds, or an emotional damage that we've been through. And also it gives us extreme self-confidence, but healthy self-confidence. So they say Manipura people aspire to be on top of everything, to be not on top of everything in sense that they also need to have things under control. They're control freaks a bit, but also they need to be above. everyone else. This can be healthy or unhealthy. It can be a pathology or it can be something that's healthy, right? So it really depends on the context. So they have the desire to be famous as well, or at least for their deeds to be acknowledged. And of course, there's a dark side to Manipura, and it's having an excess level of energy, right? And this, they say, people who have excess energy in Manipura can end up being, they can end up favoring conspiracy theories. Such as if you think of Niccolo Machiavelli, or the Borgia family, or that kind of evil, fierce individuals whose thirst for power is uncanny. So yeah, this is what we talk about when we talk about Manipura. I find it very powerful. And of course, it's the reverse. It's the other sides of the story, right? Because low energy in Manipura translates as being as having outbursts of anger, or playing like a victim, or being a tyrant, right? So yeah, this is where the imbalance leads,
right? I have to say, which is, I don't know if that's even a thing, but I think like my favorite chakra is the solar plexus.
Of course, kind it of is. Been...
is it? which I kind of alluded to. Well, I didn't allude to what it is, but I said we'll talk about our favorite chakras in when we get to them. So I don't know if you have any favorite chakras, Monica, but yeah, I would say, just in terms of what it signifies, and then also like I would even say the practice, the yoga practice or the yoga asanas, let's say, to balance it. Like I think the what is it, the is the breath of fire, right?
Is the I was about to yeah absolutely
technique to do to kind of balance it out. And I
absolutely.
If you guys remember from our breathing episode or techniques of breathing, that's like one of my favorite techniques. So just kind of all links in together in this one for me, I feel.
Absolutely. This breathing, this pranayama technique, but also, I mean, actually both Kapalabhati and Bhastrika are very powerful techniques to activate Manipura chakra and to balance the energy out or in. So they're for sure to go to pranayama techniques to, you know, to balance it out. And of course, we can work on Manipura chakra by meditating upon it with its Bija mantra, or by visualizing a bright yellow light radiating from the space, you know, circling, traveling our body to empower and balance this chakra. So it's a gradual, we can breathe alongside the imagining of things. So, you know, we imagine it growing brighter and then more balanced, you know, with each and every breath. And of course, for some of us, affirmations really do work. They motivate us and they put us in the right mindset, especially exactly above a very challenging moment, exactly before a challenging moment, excuse me. So phrases like I'm confident, or I embrace my power, or I'm worthy, you know, can be super powerful for some of us, you know, whatever works. And then, yeah, when it comes to asana, Ashtanga yoga is something that is definitely makes us stronger and activates Manipura chakra in general, if you think of how the flow looks and what it does. Or boat pose, of course, it's so stimulating, it's so powerful, especially in those areas, right? Then it's the Virabhadrasana series, you know, 1, 2, 3. It's all about power. And displaying it and using it for the right reasons. No, also bow pose or dhanurasana, because that area is so exposed and it touches the ground. And also the twists, because we twist that specific area within the body where that type of energy is located, and the organs are squeezed, you know, and then released for the fresh deoxygenated blood to be, you know, to infuse them again. So yeah, so that's perfect. But of course, other types of bodily movement as well. If you think of martial arts, right, that's beautiful. Or if any other, you know, whatever type of activity makes you feel strong and empowered, right? So that's the go-to thing for when you feel your Manipura chakra is imbalanced, or you want to activate it, you know, more before a specific moment when you need it. And then, of course, there are also other techniques for when we feel we could do a little bit of work in that area. Simply lying in the sunlight is sent, you know, spending time in sunlight is said to be very beneficial. It can invigorate our solar plexus area. It can boost our mood and our overall energy level. So that's perfect. And even diet is said to be something to pay attention at. Spicy foods or yellow colored foods, even ginger, you know, they're said to have this power of activating Manipura chakra. Yeah, so there's a number of things we can do. Even, you know, if you think of for some people, also journaling might work alongside movement, or yoga asana, or meditation, or affirmations. There's also journaling, right? Reflecting and writing about our self-image, you know, or about our goals through journaling. And by performing this technique, I think we also manage to, how to put it, to process whatever blocks us from, you know, from having a healthy energy level in Manipura chakra. Yeah, so, you know, just some things by which we can even it out, so to put it. We can balance it out.
But do you have like a favorite chakra?
It depends if you ask the Monica from 10 years ago or the Monica from the present moment. I don't know. I am very interested in displaying a healthy combination of Svadhisthana and Manipura, especially in my persona as a yoga teacher. For yoga teachers, it's important to have a healthy and balanced display of appropriate energy in Svadhisthana and in Manipura, because you need to be charismatic, captivating, you need to make people do what you tell them to do. So you need to be strong and assertive without being aggressive. That's what I am paying attention at. In the present moment. So
I see.
Yeah, but also if you think of Manipura, I don't like extremes, and I try to stay balanced. But yeah, I think I have a strong Manipura at times. But and this is sometimes it's visible. So if you think for a second how the Japanese are as a people, because I remember suggesting specific cultures that some have display the traits of specific chakras, right? So if you think of the Japanese are at Manipura level. If you think how they fight if you think of the martial arts, that some of them are of Japanese origins, right? If you think how they behave in battle, if you think about the samurai, the movement of their bodies, of their swords, how they phrase the words when they speak, they are pure Manipura. And you know, the noble death is said to be harakiri. I believe this is the word. You kill the digestive fire. You kill that specific area of your body, right? So it's interesting. It's very interesting. And also Manipura people, when it's, you know, when they have a very healthy energy level at the Manipura level, they are said to have a noble sensuality, right? So they have this exceptional vital force. They're able to overcome their own mistakes, to be a master of their domain, if you will. You know, they're of service to others without asking for anything in return and other such things. They're able to influence others, but in a good way, of course. So the morality and the ethics are there. And also, if you think of human relations, the Manipura level person would wear the pants in the relationship. So that's but think of, because it's think of it, because it's very easy, right? It's, if you think of sure, how we display the balance of power, or mm-hmm. yeah so this is Manipura. It's very interesting. We need to have it. We need to pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially to find out what a Manipura person would look like, so to speak, because we've done this for the others and we're going to likely continue to do so with the series. And as I said in a previous episode as well, for me, it's interesting because I've never heard that perspective. So obviously there's, you know, I know about the chakras and then like yoga asanas for each of them and so on. But they didn't hear of the perspective, oh, if you're at this level, you're like this, or, you know, things like that, which I find, yeah. Then you can identify maybe some levels in some people, so
probably,
to speak, if you think about it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you can classify anything according to specific standards, but this is how we look at chakras, yes. And as I keep saying and saying, it's, in fact, it's about balancing all of them. Because the energy functions thoroughly by this principle that we call the communicating vessels. So if you have excess at one chakra level, then most likely the others will be depleted, deprived of energy. So it's not in your best interest to have a big ego and a huge energy quantity in Manipura, because the other chakras, because you will simply be disbalanced. So that's not okay. So that's how we look at it.
And I think also this is like the same with everything else in yoga, right? Everything needs to be balanced, so to speak. So when we talked about the yamas and niyamas, it was kind of the same idea with chakras, and I think with the yoga practice in general, right? It's all about that balance physically when you do balancing poses, but also in all the other aspects, right?
Yes, mentally and obviously energetically. And now we get the chance to learn more about this because we're speaking about chakras. So yeah, this is the third, actually. Several more to come.
Yeah, four more, if we know some math. All right, I think that's it for this one. Thank you for listening, guys. And yeah, catch us in the next episode with the as we continue the series, and we'll talk about the fourth chakra.
See you soon.
Thank you.